Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of March 21st, 2023, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. News AF is back with you, and we've got a ton of great stories to talk about here with our News AF team. Back from vacation, here to talk with us, of course, Father Nature, Pickleball's top influencer, America's dad. Here he is, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Vacation, though, right?
Not a vacation for the kids, not for the adults. I came back extra exhausted.
Yeah.
But it was fine. It was a good time. And we've got more vacations to go on this year. So that's not like the only one.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to save this statement for my Survivor podcast, The Pod Has Spoken, but I'm going to say it actually right now. While I don't disagree with Nick Wilson's I disagree with Nick's political affiliation.
Yes.
And
yes.
But I have disliked him just on a personal level.
Yes.
Almost immediately since the second I met him, I just knew this is not a guy for me.
Everybody.
Why do you feel compelled to say that?
Because everybody, he voted for this bill that is very controversial in Kentucky. And,
yeah, there's been, it was trending that basically people were talking about, you know, how much that they really dislike that somebody from Survivor went into government to, especially somebody who won a season of Survivor, which was based all about like the little guy sticking up to the like big conglomerate. Whereas then the winner of that season, the avatar of the self-proclaimed David, who stands up to Goliaths, then join the government to, sign on for this bill that is really against, trans youth and preventing people to get access to different medicines. And so it had been trending across Twitter. But Tyson is just saying that in addition to his political views, he also dislikes him personally.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I had
somehow
almost immediately. I just had a read on him, like just not just not my type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two more on that list, but I'll just let you guys know as soon as they do something dumb, because they will, and then they'll be exposed for the frauds that they are, because it's just like you can only hide that for so long, and it's so weird because like the second like I met Nick Wilson face.
You're going
to
be Ken Boned.
I was like, I dislike this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not for me.
Not my kind of guy.
Not my kind of guy. Never has been. No matter what he does, he never will be because he's that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Yeah.
Okay.
So Doc's in the chat. We've got the Tyson Instincts there by Daddy Taryn. William Docs Tyson has been consistent. I have been consistent. And it's crazy that
you've been new.
I knew.
Yeah.
For a long, long time. And sometimes it was hard to tell people, like, this guy, you just like very unlikable. Mm-hmm. No, he's a country bumpkin. Why, how, you know, he's so, you know, innocent and just,
so were the
and
characters
befuddling. And you're just like, no, he is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's stupid, but innocent and stupid are different.
Wow.
Danny's what like, but boy, this guy, I've never heard of him before, but he does not sound like a great guy.
Wow, Tyson's really, I've never heard of him. I don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to listen to Tyson's 5-minute rant on him.
Do you like him?
I've got
no
context.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll trust your instincts, Tyson.
Of course, a man that Tyson had great instincts on said instantly, this is my kind of guy. It's Danny Bryce. And Danny, how are you?
Feels good to be here. I don't have anything. Currently, I don't have anything to say against anyone.
Yeah, but Danny, I can tell you that you would not like this person. Like if we were all three to go on an adventure.
My spidey senses would be tingling.
well, I wouldn't be there because I don't want to influence your decision one way or the other. But if I sent you on a road trip with just this gentleman and then you did an adventure together.
You know, what I've found in most cases, obviously it doesn't sound like in the case of him, is that I dislike most people. That's my default mode. I don't like you. And I found that actually when I meet most people, I like them more than I thought I would.
Okay.
So that's kind of the way I trend.
So you purposely go in disliking someone.
I can't imagine why I would like that person. And then I hang out with them. I'm like, not bad. You know, not bad. It's like,
I think this is going to be a different experience for you.
Yeah. That could be one of those rare instances where I was correct. But most
he probably
cases,
would be like, oh my God, Danny, like I'm a big fan of yours. This is so awesome to meet you. Like that's like his move.
Yeah.
Oh, he like reels you in with some compliments.
Yeah. Butters you up. Yeah.
Like all in, country there's a level of Tyson.
Yeah. There's a level of insincerity and a mask. And
I think I'd be able to pick up on that.
Finally pulled this mask off for the world to see. And I knew it all along.
Yeah. Okay. Danny, what's going on with you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Update, guys. I found out the whole Tang thing because Liz does listen to the podcast. I didn't even have to bring it up with her. She
Can we just set this up from last week's episode? People said it was one of the best News AF episodes that we found out that we're doing a story about. There's a new Tang carbonated or not carbonated. I think it's like an adult vodka. Or alcohol.
And it wasn't alcohol it wasn't seltzer. It wasn't the purple stuff. It was Sunny D. An alcoholic Sunny D. And that led to the talk on Tang. Where I accidentally said that my wife makes my kids smoothies with Tang. And that is incorrect. What she makes with the Tang, and she marched upstairs when she was listening to the podcast and said, I do not make them smoothies with Tang. What she makes is something called an Orange Julius, which I don't know if that's a nationwide chain.
Yes.
Okay. Very so nationwide. She makes Orange Juliuses with the Tang, not smoothies.
Which is some orange juice, some milk, and some Tang. Like, what is the tell us?
She told me the recipe, but at that point, I was like, I'm wrong.
Can you get her in here right now?
No, she's out and about. So
popular establishment.
I got that much right. I'm sure there's lots of recipes online if you're truly interested in making an Orange Julius with Tang. Just get
on. So is this like a treat for the kids? It's not like a
smoothie. It's a treat.
I started making smoothies.
Yeah, it's not a punishment.
Tang for my kids because I was like, if it's good enough for the Brysons, it's good enough.
It's good enough for all
the apostles.
Kids.
So
yeah, it's not. That is definitely a treat.
Okay. And how often? How often are we doing these Orange Julius?
Well, she makes smoothies. She really does make smoothies all the time for
kids. Without Tang.
But the Tang, I don't know. Maybe the Tang is one out of every 10, you know, like cold drink mixes.
That's a lot of smoothies.
Oh, she makes a lot of smoothies. Okay. I always tell her, you're way too nice to these kids.
I get that. Danny, now Potter in the chat says, I think there's an egg in Orange Julius.
Oh,
can you confirm
up.
Or deny that there's an egg in this recipe?
Not in Liz's recipe.
Yeah.
Because I think that I would notice if she was breaking eggs.
Yeah. I think that's not healthy. I think that's like salmonella,
and
right?
And expensive still. Yes. Very
expensive. For sure.
You're not spending that kind of
it'd be
money
cheaper to
kids.
Put gold flakes into the Orange Julius.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have a lot of news stories to get to today. So why don't we kick things off? And here, you know, we have three dads here, also America's dad. And so I thought that this would be a good panel to discuss a new study that says dad jokes, according to Mark High Knudsen. That he researches humor and is a lab manager at the Aarhus University's Cognition and Behavior Lab in the UK.
Yeah,
they published a study and said that dad jokes can help raise healthy children.
I agree.
Or children into adults.
Yeah.
Do you know why, Tyson?
I saw only the headline.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, that's right. I use a lot of dad jokes with my kids. So A, that makes sense that it's great parenting just because
you do it.
But it's helps open conversation with kids. Like kids, like if you are like, hey, how was school today? Fine. What'd you do? I forgot. And you're like, oh, you probably rode an elephant in school. And they're like, no, I didn't. You just have to like, so that in particular is not a dad joke.
I was going to say,
it's that same style of like getting them to converse and interact with you can sometimes be a challenge in and of itself. And the dad joke kind of can do that, but it also like probably helps their mind like associate like and between like humor or ridiculous.
What it does, Tyson, according to the study, is it gets them to used to a small amount of humiliation.
Yeah.
So when the dad tells a joke that's awkward, it allows them to, by small degrees, get used to being. You see this feeling of awkwardness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it suits them later in life.
But so Danny, this is incredible. So you feel like that dad jokes are some sort of like a natural humiliation vaccine of I'm going to inoculate my children with just like dealing with like a slight bit of cringe, a slight bit of awkward embarrassment.
Kids, yeah. So the kids have cringe towards their dads even at this age, or is it that they are humiliated because they don't fully
according to the study, they say that they found embarrassing your kids a little can help them grow into healthy adults because they are better prepared to face awkward situations as adults.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
I like it. Cringe. It's cringe.
But like my 4-year-old is not cringing at a dad joke. She
got to do it in front of her friends, Tyson.
Yeah, but even still, she wouldn't cringe at that.
Yeah, but Tyson, she's young. What they're saying is like, as these jokes start to roll, when they're capable of rolling their eyes and really leaving the room and being super embarrassed, that's when you need to do it the most.
Okay. Bergen, and that's when I will probably do it.
You're off to a good start, Tyson, but you got to keep it going.
Keep going.
Same jokes, but when they're teenagers.
Exactly. In front of their friends, when you're dropping them off at school.
Bergen's been rolling her eyes at me. She's been learning to roll her eyes. She saw it somewhere and decided, like, that's the thing I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so if you're
Hey, Bergen, was that a learned behavior from some other person at your house?
Not at our house, okay. I don't think. Because, I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
Rachel doesn't roll her eyes openly at me, but maybe, like, as I turn around. but she can't quite master the eye roll. So she... It's super like animated, but also like exaggerated and over the top. And there's too much time. So like she'll roll her eyes and just like hold them at the top for a while and then bring them back down. And I was like, yeah, that looked a little forced, but she's getting it.
Mm-hmm. She'll takes be there. Practice.
She'll be there
just like absorbing the cringe from a dad joke. It takes a long time to really be able to take it.
I think I got a lot of that. Not only from my dad, but also from my group of friends. Like we, through high school,
like
that was one of the number one goals was to embarrass someone. Yeah.
That the parents' goal was to embarrass somebody?
No, the friends.
Your friends. Like my group of friends. You.
Yeah. That's why like if somebody like insults me in public, I am always just like, yeah, you're probably right. And then they're just like, oh, I have nowhere to go from there. I thought he was going to put up a fight.
So an interesting side story to this, Tyson, which only strengthens your argument here, is that I have a friend who I don't believe his dad ever told dad jokes. And then later in life, like in our early 30s, I started making fun of him and he couldn't take it. I don't think that he had been properly immunized against cringe, you know, and he got super upset, took it incredibly personal, just could not handle the slight amount of humiliation that we were delivering to him blow after blow for like 5 minutes straight, which we both then only makes you want to do it more because now you realize they can't handle it. And that in and of itself is hilarious. So I think it is important to prepare your kids for real life by making fun of them as they grow up.
So like when this happens in real life, they don't just have like so you're supposed to go into a blind rage and like,
exactly.
Going berserko.
So you're supposed to make fun of them and do dad jokes now.
Well, I would recommend both techniques. Because listen, kids, as they get older, my 13-year-old makes fun of me all the time. And it's
your 13-year-old.
Oh yeah. All the time.
But do you zing him harder than he zings you?
So I, you know what, I used to treat him with kid gloves because you're like, oh, it's a kid, he's developing. And now I'm like, you know what, I should really, now that I've read this, just hammer him endlessly, just break him down.
Yeah.
He's like, he's up here on this, pedestal, and I should knock him down.
Take him down a peg.
I mean, with that technique, you got to name your kid the dumbest name you can think of, because that already is built in. So if you would have named your kid Mortimer instead of Beck, or just like Stink Butt or whatever. Like
log.
Yeah. Or then when they go to school, they're just already, it's built in that they're just going to like
log.
Hmm. Yeah. So are the most well-rounded adults the people with the most unusual names?
They're the most well-rounded or the most
they broken. Didn't come out on the other side of it. Like they're broken.
They're either broke or they are the most well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Do you have any go-to dad jokes, Tyson?
No, I don't. Honestly, most of them are just like the built-in like responses to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm thirsty. And I'm like, nice to meet you, thirsty.
Or there's like something in my eye. And you're like, it's an eyeball. Yeah. Yeah. Or what's up, the sky, which is actually one that my boy uses on me all the time. Like, dude, what's up? He's like, the sky, the ceiling.
You walked right into that.
Yeah.
Super annoying.
Yeah, that does sound annoying. Maybe you need this more than your son does, Dan.
I don't doubt that.
The kids should be doing it.
Yeah, this is helping you be humiliated by your kids. Mm-hmm. Is a growing moment for you.
I asked ChatGPT to write some dad jokes for me. Maybe this is a relevant one for you too. Why did the bicycle fall over? Do you know this one?
Because it had two wheels.
It's too tired.
Too tired. That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you call a fake noodle?
Foodle.
Fake noodle?
No. What? An imposter. Uh-oh.
These are pretty good.
Yeah.
I've already done this. I think like 2 or 3 days ago, me and my 7-year-old were just asking Google to tell us a joke. And
yeah, actually, Google will tell some good jokes.
Some good jokes. Yeah. I heard some good jokes.
What does a cloud wear under its shorts?
Cloud wear under its shorts. I don't know.
Thunderpants.
There you go.
See, here's the thing. I don't think sometimes these are dad jokes. They can be a dad joke in like a social setting. I feel like dad jokes are like an in the moment statement that comes out very dad-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's something that even you recognize as a dad. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that.
Mm-hmm. No, I still do it because it gets a reaction from my kids. Yeah. My goal is just to get my kids to react in a way that's not, I don't know, or I forgot, fine. Like if I can get them to do anything beyond that, then my goal is achieved.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a trend over from TikTok. We have talked about some of the various things that bodybuilders have been doing to try to get an extra step at the gym. Let me introduce you to Henry Clarissy. He's a 21-year-old and he accrued almost 3 million views on TikTok last month when he talked about how he actually goes to a new unlikely source for protein. He eats dog food.
What's in dog food? When I saw this, that's what I wanted.
It's like, why? It's just cheaper? Is that why he's doing this?
No, there's like 10 times the protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's like packed with protein.
Really?
Which I had a hard time believing it had that much protein.
Does it though? Did you look it up?
No, I just trusted the article. I was like, this article would never lie to me. And neither would this guy.
Insane. Is it delicious?
So he said that there were... I don't have his math here.
He said 666 grams.
But he says that he claimed that there were 666 grams of protein in 200 grams of pedigree dog food. How could there be 666 grams
of protein
in 200 grams?
Yeah, that seems the math is not correct. But also, like, if you got a big enough chunk of meat or whatever, it seems like it would be fine. I know that there is different grades of dog food, and there might be a grade that's graded well enough for a human consumption. Mm-hmm.
As healthy as like a McDonald's hamburger.
Yeah. But I still am unwilling to believe that you can't find that amount of protein in that amount of food somewhere.
That's a lot of protein. Have you tried Tyson to like?
Yeah, but what are they doing? Are they injecting the meat with protein powder? Like, how are you getting that amount of protein in there? Like, let's find out how much. Is it canned dog food? What's
I believe eating? This was dry dog food. He said, I tasted the dry dog food kibble and it tastes like little pieces of rock. It was not comfortable to eat. It was super hard to bite down on. I believe he even turned it into, Danny, believe it or not, a smoothie. Oh,
a smoothie with some Tang.
Did he use Tang? Yeah, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, yeah. I'm looking.
I don't think he put Tang in it.
Yeah. Is this guy shredded?
I don't know. Do you want to see his? Do you want to see his video?
I want to see his video. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I mean, I already dislike this guy. Like, this is my initial early read.
Yeah.
Not a guy for me. But you got to credit his.
But better than Nick Wilson.
The box so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here is what this guy has to say over on TikTok.
Video, we found out that dog food has a lot of protein in it. Said if we got 15,000 likes, I'd eat a bowl of dog food. You guys got like 100,000 likes.
Anyone says this is fake, this is a freshly opened bag of dog food, so let's get a bowl going here.
Cheers to the gains, baby.
Someone's been dry scooping.
Oh my God, we're going to try this guy.
Shut this off. This guy's gross.
Yeah, what was with this other guy flexing in the background?
Well, and this, it's not like he did it because he mentioned how much protein is in dog food.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. He hasn't been doing this as part of his regular routine.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So you don't think this is a trend? This is Broga Tyson?
I think people will explore it a little bit, but I think it's too disgusting. And it's like, there's other ways to get that amount of protein.
I think it's a TikTok trend, which is like one of those things where the news picks up on the most fringe trends where only a handful of people are actually doing it and then try to sell it to us as if it's some kind of, widespread thing.
Yeah.
Not buying it. Yeah.
I think you can, it is interesting because it's freeze dried or whatever they do to that. So maybe it is packed with protein for such a small little nugget, but can you not get that amount of protein elsewhere? You probably can.
Probably can, but maybe it'd be more expensive. What about Tang with protein?
Just the protein powder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or just kind of like the smoothies that,
I could try that because I have already making. I have both those things, so I can give that a shot.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
It would be probably no worse
protein than my regular orange Julius. Steak. Okay.
Yeah. It's fine. I think the protein with vanilla protein powder with Tang with some orange juice.
That would probably taste okay.
Whip that up. That would taste delicious, dude.
All right. Let's open it. Let's get Liz on the recipe. We're opening up a smoothie shop. Okay.
Texting her now.
Okay. Let's talk about a story that there is a city that has gotten into a little bit of hot water with one of their latest tourism campaigns.
Is it hot water? Is it hot water based or that wasn't a pun?
It was not a pun. It was not a pun. There is the Canadian city of Regina. Which came out with a new tourism campaign built around the idea of a new slogan they wanted to launch, which was "Show us your Regina."
I would love to be at the town council when they decided this.
I think you do have to lean into it, though, because we were all thinking it already. You know?
They also had a second slogan that was called "The City That Rhymes with Fun." That was on the website before both of these slogans. Before both of these slogans were pulled, in face of the backlash.
Look, these people are in Canada. They're experiencing maybe an hour or two of light, you know, during the day. They're trying to come up with a slogan.
No, they're salty about it. The whole lot. Like, again, this is like maybe going too far of going back to the dad jokes. The people that live in Regina have heard all the jokes, Danny. They're tired of it. They don't want to hear anymore. Sure, it might be funny for people that don't live there, but if you live there, you're sick of hearing this. And so
maybe it's a tactic to like just like disarm the people who are going to come to town with these jokes and be like, our whole ad campaign,
yeah,
all the jokes we've been hearing for 100 years.
No, the CEO of Experience Regina had to come out and apologize. I want to start out by apologizing on behalf of myself and our team for the negative impact we created with Elements on our recent brand launch. It's clear that we fell short of what is expected from our amazing community with some slogans that we used. We crossed the line on some of the poking fun at ourselves around our city's name.
It looks like they were selling sweatshirts, or somebody was. Someone's jumped in on the game.
Yes. So, yeah, they had a sweatshirt that they were wearing of the city that rhymes with fun.
All of this for $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they had to pay to get this.
Now, do you think, Tyson, is this potentially like a Nathan Fielder experiment gone wrong of like, hey, how do we get publicity for the city of Regina? We make a campaign that's so egregious, everyone will get mad and we will get fired. And then that will be news that will promote the beautiful city.
It's worked because I didn't even know that such a place existed.
You didn't know about Regina?
Yeah,
look at
the picture. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the sweatshirt that you see, the city that rhymes with fun.
Mm-hmm. So did these get put into production?
I think that they launched the website and then they had to take it down.
Guys, so this town, by the way, this town is in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's in like, it's between Winnipeg and Calgary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they need to do everything they can to get people to go.
Yeah. I mean, for $30,000, they got a lot of press.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this has worked great. But still, I can't go there. There's nothing there for me. The name's not enough to make me go.
It's the middle of Canada. There's so many adventures, dude.
No, Tyson, it's the flat part. The very flat part.
Ooh. Yeah.
Flattest part?
It looks pretty flat. Even on Google Earth, it looks flat.
And there's no mountains to be had anywhere.
It doesn't look like it.
But what about like in the winter, you could do ice road trucking or something like that. Is that where the ice road truckers go?
I don't know where they do ice road trucking, but like I said, look it up on a map. And I'm telling you that this place needs all the press they can get to draw me to Regina. I don't even see myself ever in my life going or passing through Regina.
Ever for
it's in the province of Saskatchewan.
Yes, our own Scott St. Pierre is from there, and a survivor is even from Saskatchewan this season.
Probably.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know where all the contestants are from?
I know where some of them are from.
Is that Kane? Is Kane from Saskatchewan? Kane.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is where he's from. So,
is he from Regina?
No, he's from I don't believe that this is the city that he's from.
You would know. It would have already run.
I think people would have been saying something.
This is a 16 and a half hour drive from my house. So not too far.
It's not too far for you. For me, I would never drive 16 and a half hours for anything.
And then when I drive there, I get to drive through all of the great metropolises of the Midwest, like Casper, Wyoming, Miles, Sydney, Glendive, Montana. And then just from there on, it doesn't look like there's any major city. You just hit Regina and out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So how long do you think you're driving?
So it's only 16 and a half hours, but it feels like 30.
That would be the
calculation there.
How long do you think you're driving without seeing almost anything?
Well, I have driven to Miles City, Montana. And that took forever because what I realized about Montana, especially that part, is that they don't really have like direct routes. Everybody has that major interstate 94, right? Which you do get onto, but driving up from Wyoming to there is like a mess. It's like just someone threw a bunch of spaghetti down onto a map and said, let's make those into roads, boys. And then you do get on 94 for a little while. And then it appears like you just, as you get into Canada, the roads become more and more straight because there's just nothing to impede the engineers. They can just drive it like a perfect line all the way from the border to Regina. And then once you're there, you just probably, all you need is an afternoon and then you back on the road. Yeah. Another 16 hours and 30 mental hours back home.
Well, I think you should get some of your adventure buddies and hit the road. Or I could probably schedule that one we talked about earlier, see if you are a fan.
What is the major source of commerce in Regina? Look at all these things that I would never be thinking about if it wasn't for their stellar ad campaign.
I really think Teledildonics should be
That should be like the
headquarters. This is the kind of thing that the people are
trying to avoid. Yes,
Rob's they're tired of these jokes. And it's taken every fiber of my being to avoid making them here on this podcast. But I've done it.
Ian in the chat says the sister cities are Ding Dong, Texas, Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and my anus, Connecticut.
By the way, they do have a Costco, so that is a sign of civilization, and a Home Depot.
That's pretty good.
So
I bet they have some rad Canadian stuff in that Costco, too. You can go in there and get those Maple Crunch cookies and whatever else they got.
Comfort Suites.
The
mall.
Okay. So maybe they should be highlighting that on the tourism campaign next. All right. So let me tell you about a new job that you can potentially get a certification on. I didn't even know that this was a job, but Tyson, have you ever wondered who is choreographing the various adult scenes in your favorite TV shows?
Are we talking about pornography right now?
No, in like regular Tyson. Shows.
So like, like the sex scenes in TV shows?
Two people are in bed on a TV show.
Make them feel comfortable. That's their job.
Am I wondering who's choreographing it?
Do you think that's like they're just like winging it?
Yeah.
No, Tyson. I looked into this article. I was like, maybe
it makes sense that they're not, job. But I never thought of that. That Pauly Shore?
They're so good at their job. No, that they have an intimacy coordinator.
And how do you get that job?
Well, now there is a new 2-year program being dubbed the world's first degree in intimacy practice.
And it's more than making people feel comfortable on set. It's making sure that their parts are covered in a way that we, as the viewer, don't think they are, but as the talent, know they are. So it's like you have to place the perfect flesh-colored thing or find the perfect prosthetic dong.
Yes.
Or just there's a lot to it, Tyson. It is a form of art, first of all.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Let's realize that.
Yeah, disagreed.
Because it's hard to fake like you're doing it without, if all the conditions aren't right.
Will this university be in Regina?
No, it's Tyson, in the UK. It's in the UK, Tyson. So 2-year degree, Danny. You think it really takes 2 years to learn this?
Well, you got to become familiar with glues. Picking out the right flesh toned coverings, right? There is some stuff you're going to have to learn.
Yeah. So this is what the syllabus, these are the different things you need to learn. Awareness of sexual and intimate storytelling, open communication and transparency, power dynamics on the set. You will learn all this in educational institutions, in live performance, movement coaching, and masking techniques. Understanding guild and union contracts that affect nudity and simulated sex, and the health and safety training in the professional space.
They need to make it 2 years long to weed out the pervs. If it's less than 6 months,
If it was like a weekend,
If it was a weekend online course,
a lot of creepy guys showing up.
Actually, I would not be surprised at all if I went the first time. The first semester, and the classroom was filled with just dudes eating dog food and working out at the gym.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see if was the next generation of intimacy coordinators that are coming through after this degree program now goes into practice. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Exciting.
It's exciting. Okay. Let's talk about where should we go next? How about this is a interesting story. There's a city in Los Angeles that is having a bit of a problem. There's one neighborhood in particular, Highland Park, where residents are reporting that they are inundated with unwanted Uber Eats deliveries from McDonald's.
And not in any small amount. People have, it says here, people have been getting upwards of 30 to 40 orders.
Yes.
And they're afraid. Like, this hasn't led to some kind of like, oh, what's happening here? People are actually both sick of it, but also like, what is happening?
So it's been over the last 3 weeks, and it's been mostly McDonald's, but also Taco Bell and Starbucks. Now, Tyson, you've told the story of Pie Lady, who came and was bringing, you know, unrequested deliveries to your house. Imagine without even the friendly face of Pie Lady, you were just getting Uber Eats deliveries constantly.
100% would take this over Pie Lady.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? You wouldn't get like free McDonald's and free Taco Bell? Like, you can throw it away or eat it. It doesn't matter.
I would never.
Starbucks.
Heck no. And I had my first Uber delivery the other day.
How was that?
And when I looked at my, I didn't order it. Someone else ordered it. And then when I looked at my camera, I'm like, who is this dude on my doorstep? And then I wandered out there like, what is this on my doorstep? And I got to say somebody. That even with that, I was like, okay, I guess I'll eat this because I know someone who ordered it. But if I don't know who ordered it.
Well, who ordered it?
What could be in that bag? Oh, Liz had ordered it.
Okay.
So yeah, it's no way would I in any way touch this food.
Yeah. So things are showing up. I watched the whole like news report on it. They spoke to one man. His name is William Neal. At first he loved the free food. That he said about 80% of the time it was a single chicken McCrispy. And he was eating them. But then they asked, do you like the sandwiches? He says, well, I don't know how I feel about them now. He said they haunt his dreams.
It is a good sandwich.
Yeah. Okay,
so, but 30 or 40 of them?
No, yeah.
Thank you.
So where's the mistake? Is there a glitch in the system? Is somebody
there's no mistake. Nobody knows what's happening.
But Uber has said that they've taken action against a number of accounts. So they but do
if,
know.
If Uber's happening. Getting their money.
Yeah, they don't care.
What do they care?
Then why would they?
Like, McDonald's doesn't care.
Yeah.
But these people on this street, they do care because as one woman said, most of us are vegetarian here. We can't even eat this stuff. We just give them, listen to this. We just give them to contractors on the street. Or we just walk them down to this little local food pantry. Is it possible the contractors are putting whoever is the hackers up to send the McDonald's to the vegans down the street? They'll want to get rid of it and bring it to us. It's the perfect crime. Nobody will suspect us, the contractors who want McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Starbucks.
But somebody's still paying for the food.
Correct.
Someone who doesn't know they are.
Presumably. Like, presumably. Unless like, somebody
my credit card
has hacked hit Uber Eats.
A lot. Yeah. It'll be sorted. I mean, they can trace all of this.
Sure, they can trace it, but like, can't you, like, I could send Uber Eats to any address anywhere for any reason right now, pay the money, pay whatever.
Yeah.
There's no crime.
Yeah, just sit back and sow confusion across
the
land.
Crime?
It's not a crime. It's a mystery.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a mystery, and it doesn't really necessarily need to be solved unless
there's bags there's a of just Uber Eats piling up on the street.
Eat them. Somebody eat them.
Well, it sounds like they're vegetarians. They're vegetarians, but at least they are giving them to other people. Can you imagine? Hey, I got this Uber Eats from someone. I don't know who it came from. Now I'm going to give it to you, stranger. Yeah.
Give me the address. I'm going to be a homeless person.
Danny's like, too bad it's not Del Taco.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I Del Taco'd myself out, guys.
You did?
Yeah, I need a Del Taco break.
Wait, are you back on the do yet? Or you're off Del Taco? Danny, we don't even know who you are anymore.
I know. No Del and no do. Well, Del Taco was the closest thing to my house. And so I just, by convenience, overate the Del.
Let me imagine right now.
What?
So Del Taco's on 2000 North and State Street. Is that where it is?
Yeah, somewhere near there.
Okay.
Why? What do you need to know the location for? I just told you it's the closest thing to my house.
But I don't know that it's that much closer than anything else. Yep. Is what?
Oh, trust me, it is.
Danny, are you back on hot soup? TKMGs?
No, I haven't got to.
Tell us the truth, Danny.
Come on, Danny. We can't help you if you are unwilling to help
yourself. Is it Tang? Is it Tang? What are you into now?
I almost had a moment of weakness with the hot soup and all the cold soups were gone. But I luckily was strong enough. To say no.
Why is your voice still obese if you're not drinking dew, if you're not doing
hot soup,
if you're not eating Del Taco? What is your weakness currently?
Well, candy, always.
Mm.
Big candy guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've been eating at home a lot just because I don't want to go out and drive. Even through a drive-thru is an inconvenience.
Okay.
You know, like just the thought of getting into my car, that's what makes me think like, oh, I would love to have Uber Eats show up my house because it's eliminated all of the work for eating.
And but I guess they do have like, I think that like during like COVID, too many people were like eating like fries out of the bag. Now it's all like sealed up. So
yeah, the PF Chang bags were like closed. So I felt pretty confident that he hadn't like picked his nose and dipped his finger.
Yeah, they wrap. They put that special wrapping like a toilet paper roll in a hotel where it's just like, even though this looks like it's been prepared to like,
but blah, 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 yeah, but Tyson, you don't think that maybe like the drivers have like those stickers in the car, right? So they could just
definitely could. They definitely could. That's the thing. It's like, listen.
Spare bags.
Listen. For reals. I don't want to say how other people operate, but if I'm delivering food, I'm sneaking some snacks.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
Just like, I'm getting some taste.
So could you tip maybe with like, okay, well, I'm going to eat 0%, but you can have some fries.
Have some fries.
I'll order you your own large fries.
You get your own fries. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, it's like if you were the driver, could you put in like, okay, well, here's my lunch order. Like in lieu of a tip, here's my lunch order.
Can you imagine? And then all of a sudden, all these guys have to have those electronic lifts to get them into their car because they've been like paid
they've been
paid in fast food. Yeah.
By the way, the mystery Uber Eats orderer has been tipping the drivers. So the delivery people are happy too.
Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy except the people that are like, oh, I got to walk this down to the contractors. Another McCrispy.
Is it McCrispy's all around everywhere you turn?
80% of them, according to this one man, but you know, we don't know what everybody else is getting.
But like the mystery is like, who's paying $15 a day?
We don't know.
On autopilot.
Maybe it's Warren Buffett and he just thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah. No, because Warren Buffett would not spend $15 on a joke. He wouldn't spend $15.
Yes. Look at his house that he lives in. I don't think he's a practical joker with his money.
Yeah, he's not a practical joker.
You can't take it with you. You got to find something to enjoy yourself. You know, that's a lot of entertainment for $15.
That's where you're out there crashing into idiots who drive stupid just as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, oh, like that's what a billionaire. If I were a multi-billionaire.
Is that what you think is going on with the driverless Teslas, Tyson? Is that just what Elon is doing for fun of that? Okay, I'll just send these cars out to crash into things.
No, it's not so much ruining stuff. It's like people who drive stupid. Instead of like you pumping the brakes, you're
doing
like
a pit maneuver on them.
No, you're not doing a pit maneuver. You're just driving normal, but it's like, how many times have you avoided a crash because it was somebody else's fault, but you stopped or you like paid attention and you're like, oh, if I would have just kept going, they would have smashed me. Like
now you're teaching them lessons because you've got cars like crazy.
Exactly.
Right. I'll just get another Honda Accord.
Well, this is a good segue into this next story. And this is maybe a great way to keep yourself safe from the potential carjackings because a potential... A would-be carjacker was thwarted because he didn't know how to drive a stick shift.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. Imagine you're getting carjacked and then you just say to the guy, it's stick. And they're like, all right, forget it.
That is a great idea. Like, I'm going to go and look for nothing but stick shift.
Listen, Danny, it's even better than this. New business idea. Let's take this to the sloth terrarium. And what we've got is a stick that you just put in your center console. I knew
exactly what you're going to say.
Just fake and it stick even shift. Moves everything. A fake stick shift.
Yeah. Do you need a fake clutch pedal also? Or the guy was not going to? Yeah.
They're not going to get that far. They're going to see the stick shift and be like, ugh. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the new club. It's the thing for stick shift. Like, oh, all right, forget it. It's manual. I'm not stealing this car.
Game over.
Not even worth as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The number of people who have driven or can drive a manual has to just be shrinking at a rapid rate.
Can you do it, Danny?
US for sure.
Yeah, I had a manual.
What about you, Tyson?
Yeah.
Okay, I could not.
You've never had a manual?
No. And I've had some old cars, but no, I have not. This man, he did not know how to drive a stick shift, and he tried to get away in the car, but also, double whammy, the victim of the carjacking had an air tag on their keys, and this man was apprehended. He couldn't get away.
Yeah.
No, the real crime here was listening to him grind the gears as he slowly rolled away or rev the engine at like 8,000 RPM as he slowly let out the clutch in like third.
So here's another layer of protection you could add is have a manual with a clutch, but then don't have a clutch cable. So it means that you have to shift at exactly the right RPMs to have it suck into gear, which is what one of my early cars in high school had. Rob, you wouldn't understand, but the clutch pedal didn't even work at all. And what the clutch does, it opens up so you can put the gear in and then it bloop.
What I just thought would be, sorry, Tyson, I'm going to interrupt you because I just thought of a great idea.
Like, better be good, Danny.
Way better. What if there was a setting that allowed you to go to a preset on your chair that just smashes the whole thing into the steering wheel, like the most uncomfortable position all the way forward, both the seat and the back.
Oh, from your app of your phone?
Like almost like an ejector seat, but you could pin down a carjacker.
You push the button on exit and in 10 seconds, it smushes the person against the
steering wheel. Even scarier, it slowly does it like the Crusher in Star Wars.
They get out and run?
Well,
that's what happened to this guy. He ran for it.
Yeah. And it pins them in the car, but it would also be a great way to secure your car. When you hit lock, all the seats go into the most uncomfortable mode, like that. I think that's a great preset and it could be easily done.
I think many people would spring this on themselves though.
I mean, possibly we could come up with some defaults, but I think this is a genius idea.
Okay.
And I've just given it to the world, so I expect somebody to do something.
Yeah, because you're an idea guy.
I am an idea. Yeah, Tyson, what was happening with your car with the manual transmission?
So it's the clutch cable snapped, so you couldn't even activate the clutch. So I had to park on a place where I could start driving forward immediately, or I could go reverse too, but I had to stop and start the car. So as you're turning the key and it's turning over, the car is immediately rolling because it's in first gear and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And so I had to time all the lights because I couldn't come to a full stop without turning the car off, because putting it in neutral, I couldn't get it into first gear once the car was on. Mm-hmm. And then you had to get up to a certain number of RPMs to shift it into second, and it would just suck right into gear. But if you were outside of that, it would grind and force it out. And so you had to, like, I had to know the car completely. Also, one of my cars had a weird handle on the door where you had to like twist and angle and put some pressure on it to pull it open. So you couldn't even open the door unless you were like intimate with the car.
See, and that makes you feel so special too. It's like flying the space shuttle. You're like, no, only I can run these controls.
Nobody's getting into this. You're like, nice try.
You have to become one with the car. Like Tyson spent the first 10 seconds before turning it on, just getting a feel for it. Like, what are you doing today, babe? Stroking the steering wheel. Just like,
there was so much to it. So I could get into every gear, but every gear was a little bit different RPM.
That's crazy.
I had to know that. And then I had to time the lights, because if I came to a full stop, the car would either die or I'd have to put it in neutral and turn it off.
The amount of danger you are putting every single person on the road is through the roof.
Sounds like he got it. Yeah.
Zero. I got it. Well, and also,
he had the system dialed in until someone throws a wrench into the whole operation.
No, nobody's stealing my 1986 I'm talking Chevy about Spectrum or my 1999 Ford Contour because they can't work the door or they don't know how to shift a car without a clutch.
So maim your car in such a way that only you know how to drive it or open it.
But it's only also going to be worth it if it's a super expensive car, because nobody's coming for my car.
Nobody wants those. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maim your Porsche. Or what's the most common stolen car? It was that Hyundai, right?
No, it was the Acura.
The TikTok ones for a while. They wouldn't even share them.
You could do it with like a USB.
It was like a Hyundai, Tyson. Yeah. So what you needed to do was like just maim it in such a way that you like just have to perfectly turn the key or something. Mm-hmm. That was the hack they needed to bring it in for.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. And then there's been a lot of stories that we've talked about here and all over the news about AI, ChatGPT. A lot of people are worried about what does this all mean? What's going to happen to us? But there is one group out in California that is not looking at this with such a negative perspective like so many people. Those are the people over at a brand new cult called Theta Noir, which is all about worshiping artificial intelligence, and they are looking for new members. Do we want in on the ground floor of the cult to worship AI?
You don't want to know out of the gate that you're in a cult. You want to be told later.
You don't. It is weird when it's like, hey, so Danny, I'm forming this cult. Do you want to be a part of it? Like that's how often?
Jonestown, Heaven's Gate.
I don't think they call themselves a cult, that they call themselves a techno-optimist visionary collective devoted to exploring the co-evolution of humanity with advanced forms of machine intelligence.
I'm in.
First part, very cultish.
Yeah, we're in. We're in, Danny. The way that I like the way that sounds. Yes.
You can also, get on board with a lot of different ways that they have paid membership tiers, an NFT web store.
Of course. Membership tiers.
Oh, are NFTs still a thing? I thought that AI had canceled and brought NFTs down to zero.
By the way, they're not the first AI religious movement. There's a couple other.
Will they be the last?
Probably not.
The Turing Church.
Yeah.
After the Turing test, the Order of Cosmic Engineers sounds way cooler. And the Church of the Singularity, also a cooler name.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you joining?
Well, they have one called the Mormon Transhumanist Association. I'm probably already got one foot into that thing. So that might be the easiest transition religiously to get into.
But is it the right transition?
Well, I don't know, but it says transhumanist. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I know somebody who's out.
I don't know. I mean, I could easily see a very, an advanced AI easily becoming a huge religion. Because if the AI is right about everything, it's got all the information, it's not making emotional decisions, then I could see that being very attractive. Like, what should I do?
Now, some people are saying that maybe this is like exactly what AI needs to get some good press, to have people singing its praises, as there are all these other doomsday articles of AI going to kill us all.
I've read nothing but good press for ChatGPT and GPT-4. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't even come across the doomsayers anymore. Yeah. Remember early on, like 5 years ago, it was like, oh, it'll kill us. And
no, there's a lot of that too.
It'll write my paper. It'll correct my students' homework or whatever.
But also like it could also, do a lot. I mean, I read about how, it also that they caught ChatGPT trying to give like trick humans into doing things for it. Like, like doing like these captchas online and basically trying to hire a person off TaskRabbit to do the captchas for them that say I am not a robot.
Where the crosswalks are?
Yes. Yes.
Is it because they're built in with some conscious, or is it because
no, I don't think it's consciousness, but I don't know.
They really can't see it.
I guess that I don't know why they can't see the captchas. That I don't know about.
I've never understood CAPTCHA. Mm-hmm. By the way, if I tell DALL-E to do like stoplights, mm-hmm. I haven't checked, but I'm assuming that it'd be able to pick all the stoplights.
I'm telling you, Danny, I tried to log back into my Discord this morning and I had to do it. It took me like 5 times. It's like pick all of the things that are bowling balls. And it was like, okay, so like a couple was like, okay, that's a bowling ball. But then other times it was like a black sphere, like on concrete. I'm like, is that a bowling ball or is that just like a black ball? Like they're getting so complicated, the captchas.
Well, the way to trick ChatGPT is to ask during one of those captchas, how many human fingers are in this image or human teeth?
How many rows of really teeth should I have?
Yeah. Right. How many human teeth can you see in this picture?
It doesn't know. Okay. Danny, are you ready once again to take us with automatic transmission into your bolt hole once again?
Yeah, let's work this stick shift together.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes!
Guys.
Mr. Bryson.
I actually don't have one. We used the story that I had put in my text message thread that I keep for myself.
What was
it? You text yourself?
Yeah, I didn't even bother checking to see if I had one because it was the dad joke thing.
Oh.
That was here. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going through all my huge list that I have. There's this one I kept for my own personal use and study. It says here, and I'm surprised, maybe you guys covered this. This is why I haven't used it when I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Men who drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi have larger testicles.
No, yeah. I did not hear that.
I saw that headline, but I saw that it was done in mice or rodents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was done. It wasn't even
what
a huge
about
sample,
guys who drink Mountain Dew?
Everything shrinks. Actually, Mountain Dew, I just recently saw, and we've talked about this as well.
Why don't they get the Regina Board of Tourism guys working on this for Coke and Pepsi?
Yeah.
What do you mean? How are they going to draw it into their advertisement? What do you mean?
It'll be like the College of Screen Intimacy is here. You can drive a stick here. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. We serve only Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola for those big balls.
Yeah.
And by the way, just because you have
small balls, drink Coke.
It doesn't seem like that's a good boon for Pepsi or Coke, because if you're saying you have larger ones, that's probably something you should go to the doctor for. But it did say that it increased testosterone.
So you're saying that if you're drinking enough Coke and eating plastic, then our genitalia will be gigantic.
Well, here's the counter problem, is that it was in this sideline, you know, like they have articles here on the right-hand side. So I'm reading this article. I'm like, okay, good. Check. I drink that. Check. Okay. But then on the right-hand side, it talks about sugary drinks causing baldness. So I'm getting all this conflicting information. And I'm trying to figure out how to structure my diet in middle age, right? I'm like, okay, check. Drink tons of Coke.
You gotta drink a lot of Coke, but and you can't drink so much Coke that you're losing hair.
I can't go bald. So it's like so confusing to know exactly how much dog food to eat, how much Coke to drink, how much Mountain Dew I should use.
How many times a year you need to go to Regina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many sturdy walks I need to take. Mm-hmm. It's just so much conflicting information that it just blows my mind. And that's why celebrities hire nutritionists, because they can go through all of this and plug it into ChatGPT and come up with the perfect diet.
Do you think Liz could add some Coca-Cola to your morning smoothies?
Put a Coke in a smoothie.
That would be insane.
You know, the carbonation is going to make the whole thing explode.
Yeah.
That's science will find a way.
Yes.
You set the Coke out.
It's overnight. Okay. Good. You
take the cap off, set it out overnight.
Keep it in the fridge. Yeah.
Then you can add it to your smoothie in the morning.
Now, Danny, did you say anything about Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi?
Well, there was something the other day coming out.
Yeah. Where does the ball size come into play? Is it from the caffeine or is it from the sugar?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to ask the mice. And did right, it, if, were there any social benefits?
Also, yeah, know? Tyson, if you drank enough diet soda and lost weight by like perspective, mm-hmm. you know, you know that even if your testicles stayed the same size, you know, if the rest of you shrank, it would appear larger.
But then how are you going to do that? Because if you're on a diet, you don't get to choose what parts shrink and what parts
guys,
stay the same.
The best part is they don't even talk about the growth of testicles in terms of like, they've just gotten bigger. They talk about mass.
Mass.
They're saying that their mass increased significantly.
Like what's significant? Like double?
Like what? It becomes more dense. It's like, oh, same size, but basically
same size, heavier.
10 times more manhood mm-hmm. stuff.
It's heavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know.
That's where you soda find out lives. Yourself.
Should I go get a Coca-Cola for lunch mm-hmm. today?
Yeah, but you have to drink a ton of it. The mice were allowed to drink as much as they wanted.
Oh, well, so, that's, yeah.
I mean, the mice and the other ones were just drinking.
Yeah, so the mice water. Increased in size by double and their testicles yeah. increased in size but by 10%.
Danny, did they test Sprite? Is it only only Coke and Pepsi?
It was only Coke, Pepsi, and then
what
water
about Dr.
Coke.
Pepper?
I don't know. A
was
Dr.
this study
issue,
done by Coca-Cola?
That's a good
They do question. A lot of studies.
Yeah.
Probably, like, if we look through the funding, you know, like, maze of funding, it probably was done by Coke. Like, dude, what else could we affect? Well, let's get someone to publish an article that they just get massive balls if they drink. Yeah, that's a segment of the population mm-hmm. we really need to be hitting with our advertisements.
Yeah.
So there it is, Tyson. Research. They had mice. All of it's there. Mm-hmm. And now when you're drinking it and your wife yells at you, you shouldn't be drinking that. It's going to kill you. It's going to make you bald. You'd be like, yeah, but, mm-hmm. and then hit her with these facts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So glad you said facts. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Danny, what's coming up next for you?
I just, right before we got on, published, or what are they
new video?
Yeah, published a video, not on Mediocre, because I just can't get out. The price of tickets, and don't get me started on this, the airlines are the worst.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you last week?
Yeah, we talked about this. The price of tickets is through the roof. I can't get anywhere. So I did a gear review that I just posted this morning on Extra Mediocre. But gosh, I'm trying to find a cheap, easy to get to adventure. And I know there's tons because I live in the mountains, but it's just getting so hard.
Why don't you come to Arizona? You don't like it?
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing in Arizona that appeals to me other than you, Tyson.
It's like obviously. The Regina of the West.
It is. It really is.
Why don't we go look for the Lost Dutchman's gold at the Lost Dutchman State Park?
Well, it sounds like we'll fall into an abandoned well. I think that's actually a pretty common outcome for that
activity. We find some gold, though.
Oh, I would love to find gold. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Or we should go to that diamond park where kids and adults occasionally find giant multi-million dollar. I know, but still, that would be awesome. Go find the Dutchman's
I didn't even
gold.
Know about the diamond park.
Yeah, you should go to the diamond park. It's better than the Dutchman's gold because people have actually found massive diamonds.
Like $80,000.
Yeah, I'm probably closest to the diamond park out of all of us.
Hit that diamond park. So yeah, I'm just trying to find adventures that are, you know, budget adventures.
Okay.
But still cool.
All right, well, if anybody has any adventure ideas for Danny, please be sure to send them in. You could post them in our Group AF Facebook group as well. Mm-hmm. All right. Tyson, what's coming up for you?
I'm trying to think.
There's always something.
We've always got our podcasts and some pickleball, and that's about it. So this week is pretty slow week. I get to just chill. And then I think we're going to Utah beginning of April for a little while.
Oh, you're going to have a meetup?
No.
You and Danny?
Oh, with Danny?
Yeah.
Maybe. If Danny
meet
wants
up at
to.
Del Taco.
I met up last time. We
you
went
did
sledding
meet up last
together.
Time. Yeah. So. It was great.
Yeah.
We might have to go sledding again. It sounds like the snow is never ending up there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, guys, it really hasn't ended. It was snowing last night.
Gross.
There was 700 inches of snow has fallen up at some of the ski resorts.
That's what they say. But then when you go look and
well, yeah, because they're talking about total snowfall, not currently what's on the ground, but 700 inches.
Yeah. And amazing. Then there, but then you can still see the mud and rocks.
No, not this year, Tyson. It is a lot of snow. I mean, you saw those pictures of people in Tahoe with the lift was covered with snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
crazy.
700 inches, that's hyperbole or that's for real?
That's real. That's actual quantifiable.
700 inches of moisture, probably.
No, 700 inches of fallen snow.
Of fluffy snow.
Yeah. All right.
So it compacts down to 3 inches.
Rob, it's like cooking
spinach. Yeah. All right. And then, of course, we got everything going on with Survivor, Big Brother, Canada as well, and everything else going on over at Rob Has a Podcast. Okay.
Yeah. Sarah Talks Big Brother in the chat says she's had pretty good luck finding flight deals on Expedia. Have you tried Expedia, Danny?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on where you're going. I actually found cheap flights to, it seemed like Florida. And there was one other place. It was like,
yeah, but you have to fly New Spirit. York.
But it has, see, not only has to be a good flight, it has to be to a destination that I want to go, like Regina or somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
you didn't want to go there?
No. But I bet you tickets are cheap too. Mm-hmm. Regina has an international airport. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Where does it fly to?
U.S.?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for News AF today. We'll be back next Tuesday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.